can't sleep, trapped in my own mind.
Anxiety.
Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Oh my God, I'm so exhausted. I've survived today, and then right on my drive home from work, I was like, so yeah. That's the extent of my day. How about you? How are you?
I'm fine. I didn't fall asleep on my drive home, so there was that.
Well, the car drives itself. It's fine.
Does it?
Not really. I mean, technically, it keeps itself in its lane and holds the speed based off what's around me, but it'll just keep going until I run out of gas. And I'll run stop signs and stop lights. And
my car, if I let go of the steering wheel, it explodes immediately.
Technically, mine does too, but I guess I could fall asleep with my hands on the wheel. It wouldn't know better.
Tape them, just tape them on there. That'll be fine.
I don't know why that reminds me of a scene of a movie, but I can't think of what it is.
Follow me for more healthy driving tips.
Listen, everyone, if you're really tired but you need to drive, just glue your hands to the wheel and set, cruise control. It's fine.
Set the cruise control first, because then you're not going to be able to glue your hands to the wheel.
Just lift your knee up and hit the button. Mine's on the steering wheel. Yeah. Use your nose.
Use your nose. Follow your nose. Use your elbows.
Trying to do it more less cartoony. Follow your nose.
It was a fine day. I had lunch with my boss and my coworker today, so that was good, actually. I mean, it really wasn't bad. It's free food, so there's always that. And I ate the fuck out of it. I didn't realize how fast I was eating until I finished my plate and I looked up and they were both still halfway done. Like, they still had half of their plates left. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I'm eating out with people. I finally have a method where I don't ever just rush through food anymore.
I'm normally not that. Normally I don't eat everything. Normally I struggle as I get to the end of the plate. And then today, I don't know what happened. I must have been fucking hungry because, whew.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Today I wasn't in front of people though, but I got back from a phone call and then I sat down to finally eat my lunch. Well, one of my coworkers is like, hey, do you want my leftovers? Because I can't finish it. And it was literally chicken strips and tater tots. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll eat those. And I maybe had the chicken strip down in two bites. And I was like, come on, popping tater tots. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess I was really hungry.
It's wild how much our mood and attitude are regulated by food.
Ooh. You know, when I was in high school, maybe, or a little younger, I went through a phase where I got really, really hangry.
Ooh, I'm living that life right now. I get hangry currently.
Like, it takes a lot for me to get hangry now. God, I could be sitting there, and if we weren't eating at 12 and I was used to eating at 12, I would be mad.
I get really frustrated with Joe because in the evenings, I like to eat dinner at a relatively, like, earlier time. And Joe likes to eat dinner whenever the mood strikes him. And there's no fucking telling when that's going to be. And I am realizing now that, like, I need some consistency with meal times in my life.
Yeah.
So, like, the other day we had a friend coming over on Friday, and I knew we were going to be getting food, but they weren't going to get here till like 7:30, 7:45, which is way too late for me to eat dinner without a snack. So I made sure to eat a snack, and yeah, that just to tide me over, but I ate it not because I was necessarily hungry, but because I knew otherwise my attitude was going to be bad.
Yeah, I'll have to do that if I know we're delaying. Yeah, I'll have to sometimes snack, but nowadays I feel like I don't often have to snack as much. I can wait a really long time to eat. I think my problem is if I've been exerting a lot of effort, like if we've been outside doing a bunch of stuff and it's warm, then that's when I'd say my hangry side can kick in.
Okay, I get that.
I've burned a lot of calories doing something or walking a lot, and my body's like, you need more.
Yeah, that does happen frequently. Ugh, that's the only thing I really miss about having a regular cardio routine was the amount of food I could eat.
Yeah. Well, now that I am officially going to sell my house and move into an apartment, the gym is basically right above me, and I really don't have any excuse not to attend the gym anymore.
You can't just say it like that because it's going to feel really shitty when you don't go.
I know. I'm going to have to, when I'm in the position to start going, I'm going to have to change my mindset.
Yeah.
Because right now it's still, ugh. But whenever I go, I actually really like it, and I like myself. I don't actually like being at the gym itself, but I like how I feel, and I like the results I get. So I know if I just lean into that more, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I really do feel like, for mental health, exercise is one of the best things you can do. It doesn't fix everything, but it does help.
And for physical health, it doesn't fix everything, but it does help.
That is really true. It does not fix everything, but it does help. It's wild how that works. Like, your doctor tells you to, you know, eat right and exercise, and those things actually fix problems. What a fucking piece of shit health is.
What a damn liar. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach Reggie how to use a treadmill, and then we'll just go together.
Oh, my God. I would go to the gym just to watch that.
I would. Could you imagine walking into the gym and just seeing me, like, actually, I'd probably do the elliptical. So, Reggie, I'd have him on the treadmill just trot, 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 trot.
That's what I'm imagining. It's like you on one machine and then like Reggie on the other machine, and you're like next to each other. And it's
I
like
just got
you,
a water bowl next to
book,
it.
And he's got his little book, like his little doggy book.
Actually, I think it'd be adorable if this would be so cute because he loves to walk around with his ball. And so he's just trotting on the treadmill with his little green ball in his mouth. And you can hear him going. That makes my little heart feel good.
I think that would fix me. I think that would cure me of everything.
Everything wrong with me. I would suddenly stop taking all my mental health meds, and I would never see any of my doctors again because I'd be perfect.
I don't need the dose of Lexapro. I'm down to, you know, I cancel my blood pressure meds. Just go ahead and get off those.
How did your blood pressure get so perfect? Well, I started seeing my dog on the treadmill in the morning. And
it's wild. I see this dog. I see this Frenchie every day on the treadmill.
You're like, we've got to move to Oklahoma City. I got to see the Frenchie on the treadmill.
Oh God, he's so fucking cute. Yeah, I I was just thinking about this the other day because back in 2019 was the last time I really had like a strong effort at working out. Like I've worked out since then and I've had, you know, inconsistent routines where sometimes it gets a little more consistent. But 2019 was the year that I actually like, I threw myself at the gym and I was going like 5-6 days a week, not for super long amounts of times, maybe like 45 minutes. And I got great results. And I mean, great results. I was down like 40 pounds. I just felt fantastic. And yeah, my mental health was in a really solid place. And of course, you know, then COVID happened and I gained 40 pounds plus a little bit. And yeah, just got fucking wrecked. And since then, I haven't felt like I still get out and I hike and stuff, and hiking helps, but I haven't done it the past few weeks because it's been so hot. And now that it's cool outside, I want to go, but I do feel like I've always got something going on in the evenings. And so yeah. I need to do a better job of carving out time for it. And by that, I just mean like, you know, I need to be able to bring my hiking gear with me to work, maybe just go directly after work, maybe don't have to go for the full 3 mile, 4 mile loops that I usually do. Maybe do 2 miles one day if I don't have time, or, you know, just whatever, just something to get myself outside and active.
Since this is kind of a therapy podcast, what do
kind
you,
of. That's yeah. the whole purpose of this podcast.
How do you feel in general about gyms, like going to the gym? What is your, do you have any sort of disdain for it, fear? Like, how do you feel about the gym?
I don't love it, but that's mostly because if I have to do cardio, I fucking hate cardio at the gym. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. I do Planet Fitness, so I don't have like a track or anything indoors. I think if I had like a track, that would be a little bit easier. I like doing hiking and trail running because there's scenery and because I'm outside and I feel like it just feels different. But when I'm on a treadmill, I want to die every minute of being on the treadmill. I hope that the next, you know, speed increase is the one that sends me home. And by home, I mean to my grave. but for like freeway workouts and actual like muscle routines, I love the gym. I mean, I think it's great whenever I'm in a good habit of it. The issue is that usually I push myself too hard and then I end up having to stay out for a couple of extra days and then I get bed and I just don't go back. So I don't know. I feel like the first couple of times I really started into a gym routine, I struggled with it because I was afraid of what people would think of me showing up. But I think that's sort of like avoiding the doctor because you're in bad health. so it's
Which
the
is such
same
a boomer
kind
thing
of
to do.
Idea. Yeah, well, you know, we were raised by boomers, so that yeah. is unfortunately something we have to deal with sometimes.
It's so funny. I actually like cardio at the gym because I can just go to like a couple machines and just stick on them, and I know what I'm doing. I don't have to question if I'm doing anything right. Or
I know I'm doing it right. I just hate every section of it.
Or if anyone around me is like watching me anyways. But I actually have, and I understand the logic behind it and I still haven't broke it. I have this internal huge amount of anxiety at gyms.
Really?
And, it's purely because I feel like I potentially am going to be bullied for anything that I do. Like, I don't understand the machine I'm on, or I'm not quite doing it right, or I don't know. But I have this, like, I have so much anxiety about it that it kind of gets me worked up. And I swear it's from when I was a kid, and, you know, I wasn't the buff country boy, the football player and all that stuff. And I mean, even my family bullied me about that. And so I think that is so deeply embedded in me that it has ruined my ability to do a really good workout at the gym because I am so riddled with some sort of anxiety that I've yet to break.
You know, that's extra funny because I was just thinking about this the other day about how I struggled so much growing up because I felt bullied. And a lot of it was boiling down to me like being not very tough and like needing to toughen up and being relatively like shy and introverted and quiet. And like anytime I did speak up, I don't know. So I struggled with the gym because I felt like that at first too. But I will say the more I started going, the more I realized that all those like really buff gym guys, they only come in like a handful of varieties. So there's only just a few of them. The bullying kind are really few and far between. There's just that's not going to be like, I would wager a guess and say they're so rare that on most days you're not going to experience.
And of all the times I was at the gym, I never, ever had a problem. That's the annoying part is I used to go to the gym like weekdays every morning. That's really kind of where things stopped is whenever I changed to officially did not ever restart was because I started a schedule at 6:30 in the morning at work and I just can't get up any earlier than 5 already. And
it's
it
hard
might,
to get up earlier than that.
It might adjust now if I can still keep getting up at that time because I'm going to be 7 minutes from the office compared to my 30 minute situation.
I was going to say that's got to be, I didn't even think about that. That's got to be so much nicer. It's so nice to be close to where you work.
Yeah. So that's going to change. So hopefully I can get myself back into it. And I very much appreciate a morning workout, even though it's hard to get up sometimes. I appreciate that because it's, I feel way more, what am I trying to think of? I feel way more. I feel like I've achieved more through the day because I was able to wake up and knock out exercise first thing in the morning because after work and all, I'm tired. Even if I slept really well the night before, I'm done. I'm burnt out. I don't want a good workout.
Tragically, working out first thing in the morning tends to be like the best option for me whenever I think of my day as a whole because it just makes my mood better for the day.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid that it works because I wish that it didn't. I wish that doctors were wrong. I wish that my psychiatrist was wrong. I wish that my therapist was wrong about exercise and its effect on my body. I wish they were all wrong, but
I wish science was backwards.
All correct. but I did for a while get up at 5 every day to go to the gym before I went to work at 8. And I went with a friend and we did do that for a while. And it was really nice because I would get to the gym. It would still be dark out. I'd do my gym routine and then I'd get home. I'd shower, change. Then I'd get to walk the dogs and I'd walk the dogs while the sun was coming up. And so I'd stop at the first bench on our little walking trail and I'd sit down and I'd meditate for like 5 minutes and watch the sun come up.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. Put me in a really good headspace for the day, which was vital because the job I was doing at the time completely destroyed that every time I arrived there. So I was building up a wall just to have it knocked down immediately.
There's a very, very, short period of time in the year where I get to see the sunrise at like the light of sun start to peak before I'm at work.
I wish that we had windows in our offices that were, I guess I don't really have like a window to my office that can face the outside. I wish I had a skylight. I just wish I had natural light in my office. And that's what drives me insane at work right now is I have zero natural light. And so I'm just there and it's like,
I have to kind of maneuver to see windows out of my current office. And I hate that. Now, in this home office, I have a window next to me, but the way this house is designed, it's complicated, so I had to put this in a dark corner. But in my new apartment, unless I measured everything improper, I think I'm gonna have my desk right in front of a nice window.
That's so awesome. I put my desk right here on purpose because I set it here with the intention of having a good writing space. So I don't know how well you'll be able to see this, but like,
oh yeah,
It's so nice whenever
when
I'm not recording something.
When I was with my ex, we actually had the rooms swapped. This one, which is the smallest room in the house, was the spare bedroom, and the furniture didn't fit, all that shit. It was kind of annoying. And the front room was the office. And what I did love about that was I ended up putting my desk right in front of this giant window. Because my front bedroom, you've been in it, huge window for the house.
Yep.
It was so refreshing to sit there at the desk all day, work on your computer, look outside constantly, and have natural light.
Mm-hmm.
And I love having my screens face me while I'm looking at a window, because just even if I'm distracted all the time, it's that quick glancing that just makes me go, ah, natural light, which all of my doctors tell me that you need that. Like my eye doctor's like, you really need to set your computer by a window. I know you can't get that choice at work. And I'm like,
you're right. I think that's my least favorite thing about work where I'm at is just not having natural light, and it is so necessary. I didn't realize how much I needed it. There are days that I'll just get up and I'll stand up and I'll go outside just to walk around in the sun for a bit.
Yeah. I get up and just stare out people's light. Windows.
My God.
I'm like, I'm coming to visit you because I need your window.
I just need some light for a minute. And nobody has it in our building, really, because all of the offices are in the middle.
Yeah.
And so there's no real outside face except for our shipping office, which our shipping office is right next to like the shipping doors, so they have to have a window because they're at the outside of the building. But we're all in the middle in this like space where none of us have natural light, and I feel like we're all going to turn into vampires.
Well, that is probably one of the most difficult parts of corporate life when you work in those tall towers, especially ones that were built prior to, I don't know, 2005 or something like that, when all the very, very glass-coated windows became super popular.
Yes.
And the natural lighting became way more dominant in modern. But like my building was early 80s, and the architecture is so jail-like. Like,
yes,
you just have a strip of windows around it, and it's just dark in the middle, and everything's just gray, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, it drives me. I've been debating buying a natural light lamp to put in my office, specifically just so I can have something that emulates some light, so I can maybe like feel something.
Yeah.
Because God, it's exhausting to be in an office with no natural light. It's just tiring. And I feel like I'm back in basic training again in the military is what I feel like.
Yeah.
And we're in one of those stupid little classrooms where they're giving us this like presentation, or they're training us on something, and all we have to do is sit there and listen. But it's the hardest thing in the fucking world to do because there's no natural light. There's no interaction during the like whatever class they're giving. So they're just talking to you directly. You have to follow along in your book. And you're tired as hell because you only got like maybe 4 hours of sleep the night before, and you've been working your ass off every day. And so you're so fucking tired. There's no natural light. The most boring lecture in the world is happening, and you get your ass beat if you fall asleep. It's just all it is an exercise in how well you can stay awake.
I'll be honest, that kind of sounded exactly like my day today at a corporate office, because
it's the same thing. It's really not that much different.
we had a company-wide meeting, which we do every quarter, to talk about like our production numbers and all that jazz and how we're doing on bonus metrics, stuff like that. And it was scheduled for an hour, and I was like, oh, nice, they're really getting good at this. Oh, no, it lasted an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm already tired, and we're crammed in this conference room, like in a hotel next door to our office, and the seats are pushed together, and my back is just like abso-fucking-lutely not. And so all of us are uncomfortable because our backs hurt. And so you could see the whole like room of people just doing this as the meeting kept going on and on. And I'm pretty sure if I would have fell asleep, I probably would have also gotten my ass beaten. So
I hate that shit. I hate it so much. I, I don't mind like sort of a state of, you know, where things are at, like presentation.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But let one person present it and save all the questions for the very end and allot a certain amount of time for questions. And if you go over that time, then you can submit questions privately via an inbox or email somebody. Because what fucking happens is some idiot is going to ask a stupid fucking question that nobody else wanted to know the answer to because they're trying to seem impressive to some corporate, some other person. And I fucking hate it. I hate everybody just sucking themselves off in those meetings. It just drives me insane.
Nobody usually asks questions in hours because it's very much everyone's just ready to get out of those chairs.
So they spend an hour and 45 minutes talking at you?
Yeah.
Sounds like hell.
At the end, we did service awards. So we gave some awards to people that had been here 5, 10, and 15 years.
Wow, that's stupid. Did you give them $100 like McDonald's is planning on giving their longtime employees?
They did not. One person got to stand up for being here 10 years.
Ooh, get to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Well, I guess it was more than one, but still.
They apparently used to give away Rolexes at my current employer, but they stopped doing that like shortly after I got there for their 10-year anniversary because my coworker finally was able to like sell his. And I was like, what the fuck is the purpose? The Rolex would be fine because they're worth plenty of money still. Yeah. So like, but like, just give me the fucking money, man. Like, don't give me that. Just give me the money.
Yeah, I got a watch at 10 years, but it definitely was not a Rolex. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, he eventually sold it. It actually was funny because he was selling it as I started working there. And so I helped him, like, source a place to actually sell the watch. And he ended up buying a new car. So good for him.
Wow. Very good for him.
Yeah, they get down payment. He had it's just this beater pickup, and it was so rough. I was like, he's just driving to work every day. He was like, yeah, I don't have a car payment. It's awesome. It's like, but you also don't have air conditioning or a radio.
That's the funny part about that is like everyone's like priorities, and I'm like, all right, so no money spending, you just have a free life, or ride in a little bit more comfort and just spend on it for a little bit. And I'm like, what? I don't know. Because, yeah, of course you can like buy a beat up car and then repair parts on it. But that starts also getting really expensive.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said, though, for having something like a car like that that's kind of shitty. Because maybe you don't care as much about it. And maybe
that's it.
I was like, helpful for your mental health.
You have to put a perception that you're just like, I don't care. Like, do I have nicer cars because I feel like I have to hold up an image? Or do I like nicer cars because I enjoy having nicer cars?
What's funny is I'm starting to realize for a while that I got new cars because I wanted people to see me have new cars.
Same.
And I just realized this recently because as I'm getting to the end of my car payment on my current vehicle, because I've got like a year and a half left on my note, just like, I'm just going to drive this fucking thing till it explodes because I don't give a shit. I do not care. It drives. It's got all the features that I could possibly want. Man, unless that thing gets totaled or the wheels fall off of it, I'm just going to keep driving it.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get rid of my Highlander. I really like that car. Now, I would like to buy something else to drive around for fun, but I love my Highlander.
Yeah. Oh, that's the nice thing about my car is that it is both fun and practical to some degree.
Yeah. Mine's been practical in this moving process because I literally just load it up full of shit and then hello, Blanche. And then go to work the next day and then drop some off at the apartment and then come home.
Nice. Nice. What a good way to move.
It's pretty handy.
Yeah. So I had that SUV for a while. I had that Ford Edge and I fucking, God, I hated that car. So, but I don't know. I feel like there is something to be said for sort of toning down the things that you own to, you know, you're going through the process right now. Shit.
I'm going through either a midlife crisis or a reverse midlife crisis because I'm like, I don't need to own all this stuff. And so now I'm purging, literally, I purged a Mustang. I'm currently purging a house of stuff. and the house itself, and I'm just kind of going back to a little bit of a simpler life for a moment.
I think it's really not a bad idea, because the more shit we have, the more stressed you get about it. And I mean, honestly, kind of envious. Kind of wish that I had that situation.
And this is a little deep for a very short amount of time that we have left. But
yeah, the minute and a half we have left.
Yeah. My therapist asked me, she's like, what do you think? Why do you think you are doing this? And I kind of was like, so I'd been thinking about it. This house was built on the concept that I was with my ex for all those years. And I'm like, this house is built with basically a ton of memories that I don't like who I was during that time. And I'm like, I've realized that no matter what I do to it, I'm always going to keep kind of living that. And I don't want to anymore. And so I was like, I decided that I've had the house for 9 years. It's time to get rid of it. And she was like, wow, that's way deeper than I thought it would be. And I really like that. Because I'm like, I had to dwell on it for a while and be like, why do I want to do this so bad?
Yeah, but I don't think you're prone to hasty decisions. So it's not like you're just ripping.
I have been thinking about this for 2.5 years. I'm just finally going, ripping the Band-Aid off and saying, let's fucking go.
Yeah, so it's not like you're out here making just these rash decisions off of like the spur of the moment. So
right. You know. No, this has dwelled for a long time. I just have always talked myself out of it because it's a big change. And now I'm just like, I've got to do these big changes or else I'm going to be stuck in the same rut of my life the rest of my life because it's safe and I don't want to be that way anymore.
Well, sometimes you got to
step out
the safety net and just go.
So I'm
Take
doing
the chance. Good for you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.